and turn with me today to the book of Mark, chapter 16. The book of Mark, chapter 16. And I want to read the first 8 verses of Mark, chapter 16. Hopefully you're able to get it easier than I am. There you go, finally. Mark chapter 16, and I want to read the first 8 verses of this chapter. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, that they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering in the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, where they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Here in the book of Mark, we have read his account of resurrection morning. And the main focus of attention in these verses 1 through 8 in Mark chapter 16, is on the women who came to the tomb intending on anointing the body of Jesus with sweet-smelling spices. I thought on that some, and you may wander with me just a little bit, and you kind of wonder at the futility of what they were trying to do. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ had been handled and treated while he was on the cross in unspeakable ways. And now the body had been 3 days lying in the tomb, in the grave. And they came to anoint his body with sweet-smelling spices. The custom of anointing with sweet-smelling spices came, you know, kind of with them when they came from Egypt. But we read that the Jews did not embalm like they did in Egypt. And so you think, what did they expect to accomplish in anointing the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? And I have to conclude that their love was so great that there was just a compelling, a yearning inside their hearts which demanded that they do something to express their love for the Lord Jesus. And it may be that you at times have just felt, I've got to do something. And they were moved with that compulsion. And so beautiful was their attempt that this expression of their love is recorded in each of the 4 Gospels. That the ladies, that the women came to the sepulchre in the wee hours of the morning to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus. This passage here suggests to us that there was a little bit of concern in their hearts. They were partway there. It would seem like they were almost there, and all of a sudden the concern came to one mind first. How are we going to get the stone rolled away? Because in verse 4, it was very dry. How are we going to do it? How are we going to roll the stone away? And then the text suggests that they were, you know, filled with this concern, with this consternation, and then somebody looked up and, whoa, it was already rolled away. And they didn't know what was going on. That was the first kind of, putting them off balance kind of thing. Somebody had thought ahead and removed the stone. And then when they stepped into kind of the anteroom of the vestibule or something like that of the grave, they looked, and there sat an angel of the Lord. Doesn't use that phrase in our text, but it makes it abundantly clear that that's what they saw. And now they were totally messed up in their... The Scripture says they were affrighted because they saw this individual there sitting in the sepulcher. And not only were they affrighted, but then he settled their concern and rewarded them with a glorious message. Verse number 6. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Don't be afraid. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, or look, the place where they laid him. It would have been well worth the trip to the sepulcher in the early morning hours to get that word from the angel of the Lord. He is not here. He is risen. And then he gave them an errand to do. Verse number 7. He said, go your way. Be off with you now. Go on home. And as you go, tell his disciples and Peter that he, Jesus, goeth before you into Galilee, as he said unto you. This is a personal reminder of what Jesus had told them before at the Last Supper in the book of Mark, chapter 14, and verse number 28. We'll back up to verse number 27. All shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go before you into Galilee. They were instructed to meet the Lord. This was at the Last Supper in Galilee for a post-resurrection conference where Jesus was going to speak to and minister to his disciples. Now, these 8 verses put the focus on these several women who came to the sepulcher, and that's what the most of verses 1 through 8 is about. But in verse number 7, there is interjected into this account of the women at the sepulcher another totally separate thought that is unique to the Gospel of Mark. And that is in this instruction in verse number 7, the phrase, and Peter. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. Today and the rest of the month of April, it's my plan, if the Lord allows me, to accomplish it is to preach on a single theme. And that theme is the theme, second chances. Now here in the book of Mark, chapter 16 and verse number 7, in this instruction by the angel of the Lord to the ladies, the women at the sepulcher, was telegraphing to Peter, there is a second chance for you if you want to take it. Earlier, Peter's pride and self-reliance had led him to awful, regrettable failure. At the Last Supper in Mark chapter 14, we read of this, that Peter had boasted and had broadcast to everybody that I am filled up with pride. While he should have been prayerful and asking God to pray for him and Jesus to pray for him and to strengthen him, Peter was broadcasting, I am full of pride. Look at verse number 26. When they had sung a psalm, or sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said, all of ye shall be offended because of me this night. Then we get down to verse number 29. And Peter said unto them, although all should be offended, yet will not I. Can I put that into the way we might speak today? Peter said to the Lord Jesus, all the rest of these goobers, they might deny you. All the rest of these goobers, they might fail you and be offended with you, but not me. No, sir. I am beyond that. I am not capable of failing you in this fashion. You remember what the book of Proverbs 16:18 says? Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. If Peter had really been in the right spirit and thinking, he would have recognized that I am capable of anything that any of these people are capable of. I'm capable. Dear God, help me. But that very night, according to the prophecy of the Lord, Peter denied the Lord Jesus in a most egregious fashion. In verse number 50 of this text in Mark chapter 14, Peter said, and they all forsook him and fled. Verse number 68 in this text, but he, Peter, denied, saying, I know not, neither understanding what thou sayest. And they had said, thou wast with Jesus of Nazareth. Verse number 70. And he denied it again. Verse number 71. A third denial. But he began to curse and swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. Peter had failed in exactly the fashion that he had publicly boasted that he would never fail in. He had forsaken the Lord Jesus. He had publicly denied the Lord Jesus. He had used profanity in declaring he never knew him. Peter was a miserable failure on this night while Jesus was in Pilate's judgment hall. Let me ask you a question. And I was sharing with David when we were out about visiting or trying to visit yesterday. I don't have anybody in mind. I said, David, I didn't have you in mind when I was preparing this. He says, what, me? No. That was just an illustration. I was using you. I don't have anybody in mind. I'm not sure why the Lord directed me this way. But Peter failed. And the question is, have you ever failed the Lord? Have you ever in your pride and arrogance he thought, I am above this, only to find yourself shamed by your failure. You have failed yourself, and you have failed the Lord. Now, Peter's failure brought bitter tears, brought shame, and self-loathing in verse number 42. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Peter heard, Jesus, it says, the cock shall crow two times before you have denied me thrice. And after the third denial, the cock crew. And the truth crew twice. And when Peter thought on these things, he wept. Not only did he just weep. In the book of Matthew 26:75, it's an account of the same thing. It says he wept bitterly. In Luke chapter 22, it records the same thing. Luke 22 and verse number 61. This, to me, is just, this is difficult to think of. And verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord that he said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Verse number 61, if I am reading this correctly, Peter made eye contact with the Lord Jesus. Can you imagine, just for a second, how that must have broken his heart? How he must have been filled with shame at what he'd done. Now, I'm not today taking any time to consider, it's not my purpose, of what other consequences Peter's denial might have had on other people or on the Lord or anything. I'm talking about what kind of effect it had on Peter. We know it created in him an uncertainty as to his place. It created an uncertainty as what was left to him. It created an uncertainty as to his ministry, his welcome by the Lord Jesus, his reception by the other disciples. There in Mark 17, 16, it says, tell the disciples of which Peter was a disciple. Tell the disciples, and, in effect, it's saying, and tell Peter. He didn't know where he fit in. And that is evidenced in John chapter 21. We read in verse number 3, Peter says, I go fishing. He had been called to be a disciple, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is so messed up and mixed up and uncertain about where he stood. He said, I'm going back to my former occupation and my former pursuit. Peter, at this point, was giving it all up, uncertain of whether he could ever be used by the Lord Jesus ever again. And then in the last part of John chapter 21, remember, Peter was out there fishing. They didn't catch anything. And Jesus, disguised from them from the bank, says, children, do you have any fish? No, we've not caught any. Throw your net over there. And they got a great bunch of fish. And Peter remembered another occasion, very, very simple, similar. He cast himself into the water and swam to the bank. And then Jesus, in that very intense conversation with Peter, said, lovest thou me? Well, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Three times. And the Lord said, feed my sheep. And I think there probably was some uncertainty and distrust by the other disciples as well. Peter was filled with shame for what he had done and filled with self-loathing for what he had done, filled with shame, filled with self-loathing, filled with bitter tears over his failure. And then we have this. Tell the disciples and Peter. I believe the angel of the Lord was relaying a message especially to one man. Tell Peter. Peter, you be there in Galilee as we spoke of before. Jesus was telling Peter, Peter, you can have a second chance if you want it. Peter, meet with me in Galilee. I think the Lord Jesus was saying to Peter, Peter, you're not a toss-away broken thing. You can have a second chance. Now, the question that we ask, now if you've read the Bible, you already know the answer. The question, would Peter come to Galilee? Would Peter meet with the Lord? Would Peter, would he face his shame? Would he face his Savior who he had denied? Would he face his failure? What would he do? In the book of Matthew, chapter number 28, and verse number 16, it says, this is great. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. You know, there were 12, and then there was Judas. And then in Mark chapter 16, verse 7, tell the disciples and Peter. Did he come? Yes, he came. Verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Here he came. Here he received the commission that was given to the disciples in Galilee. And most of you can quote that commission. Verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Peter was commissioned just like the other 10 disciples were, I think we could say, on this day in Galilee, Peter was recommissioned to do the work that God had given him to do. Now, it would have been better if Peter had not failed. I expect to the very day he died, Peter looked back and he regretted that day he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Who knows what God would have done, been able to do with Peter if he had not first denied him. But that ship had already sailed. He had denied the Lord. He had to deal with it. He had failed. And he sought and he received reconciliation at the hands of the Lord. And he got a second chance. My single point today is that you can have a second chance if you want it. Now you got to want it. When the angel said to the women, tell the disciples and Peter to meet me in Galilee, Peter had a choice to make. He could sit over there in the corner sucking his thumb ashamed to show his face, loathing himself for what he had done, and never do another thing for the Lord Jesus. Had a choice, do I go to Galilee or don't I go to Galilee? And he went with the 11, the whole group, and he received that commission that day, and God used him again in a very mighty, powerful way. Just real briefly, I know I've spent my time today, and I don't have time to go in to this part in depth. The principle, the port today was at one point, you can have a second chance. In the book of Psalms 51, and while you're turning the other day when Dave and I were talking, he started, well, so-and-so had a second chance. So-and-so had a second chance. Well, so-and-so had a second chance. And here we're reading about David's second chance. Verse 7, David cries out, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Do you need a second chance? Do you want a second chance? You can have a second chance if you'll turn to Jesus. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I thank you for the Lord and your grace. I thank you for the opportunity just to open the Word of God today. And Lord, again, I can't identify a reason why today, this message, but Lord, this is what you laid on my heart, and I pray that it might speak to our hearts as individuals, and over the rest of this month as we deal with this theme, that we might be able to emphasize and strengthen, reiterate, and there might be those blessed. Lord, if there's one who doesn't know the Savior, may they come to Him today. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.